Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do you have intrusive thoughts?
Impossible.
Thoughts that intrude on your ability to function?
Oh, yes, but they're created by me. They're not brought in from the outside. I misinterpreted the question.
All of your thoughts are created by you.
Yep.
That's the nature of thoughts.
Look, how abstract are you going to get in here? I mean...
Blue?
What is your point?
All I'm saying is if you have intrusive thoughts, it's a mechanism of self-sabotage. It's your own mind interfering with your ability to enjoy life.
I guess I have them. I'll admit it.
Told you.
Remember the animated series Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist? It aired on Comedy Central in the late 90s and early 2000s. The show featured trademarked squiggly animation and a rotating cast of celebrity patients. Comedian Jonathan Katz starred as the professional therapist Dr. Katz. Now Jonathan's back with Dr. Katz, the audiobook, featuring an all-star lineup including John Hamm, Mark Maron, and Jenny Slate. The audiobook reimagines the premise.
There's been all kinds of iterations of Dr. Katz, and it went from a cartoon to a stage production. I was doing Dr. Katz live, and when I made Dr. Katz, for me, it always seemed, when we did the cartoon, it always seemed like this wonderful radio show. And my favorite part was driving home from the studio and listening to putting a cassette in my car and listening to what I had recorded 3 weeks and not remembering anything of that.
Mm.
Because that's when I was introduced to the magic of digital editing.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Not funny, but it's appropriate you say that because that's what I was thinking. It seems to me that Dr. Katz may be even more effective in the audio medium because you have such a great voice. And also the squiggle vision animation in the TV version was kind of distracting, although it does have a certain charm and it kind of conveys angst. And there's something about the intimacy and the power of intimacy in the audio medium, radio, podcasting, and what could be more intimate than a therapy session?
You know, our experience with the animation was that for every 10 people who hated it, there were 12 people who didn't mind it that much.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was a Tom Snyder joke. He's the guy who was my creative partner in Dr. Katz.
Right, and it's not the Tom Snyder from Milwaukee. It's a different Tom Snyder. It's not Tom Snyder of The Tomorrow Show. Firing up the color teeny.
Nope.
No, not that. Yeah. Anyway, that's my Tom Snyder. It's not very good. But anyway, so before you started doing Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, the original incarnation, the TV show, you spent something like 15 years doing stand-up. Did you enjoy doing stand-up?
I enjoyed a lot of it, but at some point I felt like I was trapped in a one-man show, and because I was so afraid to stray.
You welcome Jonathan Katz. Thank you so much. Nice to be back. I am in the clubs every night. I meet attractive women. You can imagine. Can't you? I was at a club last night. A lady follows me to the bar. She says, "Tell me, is it true? Do you really have a wife and a kid?" I said, "Lady, this is an act. I'm not even bald."
First of all, a lot of my act was pre-recorded. I worked with this little guitar with a tape machine built into it, and I pretended to be singing, but it was really on tape. I pretended to be playing the guitar, but it was pre-recorded.
But it was you singing? It was just pre-recorded singing?
No, I actually wasn't there.
Okay.
No, I sang along with the recordings, but the recordings was something like I'd be on stage and you'd hear the recording say, "Oh my God, who is that exquisite-looking creature sitting there?"
That's good. Do you have a favorite joke that you told in your stand-up career?
I have a joke that I enjoy telling now. I don't know why I get a kick out of it, but I don't like to beat a dead horse, but it's not the worst thing I've ever done.
That's good.
Yeah. And, you know, I never thought of myself as a one-liner comedian, but I guess I have a lot of those in my act.
You do, because you have this, yeah, you have this great quality. Well, you've got this great sort of very soothing voice. The other thing is that you have, your timing is great. The pauses you have these great comedic pauses. Your timing is impeccable, I would say. John Benjamin portrays Dr. Katz's son, Ben. And I've read that when you met John when you were doing stand-up, and he helped you realize there was a whole other approach to being funny.
Well, when we started doing Dr. Katz together, he comes at comedy from a totally different angle than me.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can write for John Benjamin because he'll just say something funnier.
It's about developing a relationship with your public. When you're a broadcaster, you'd know that.
Yeah, they'll get back to me when you're a broadcaster.
To be honest with you, Dad, it's about finding your own voice.
I bet the mic comes in handy for that one.
Shut your damn wise mouth. Hey, can I use that? About the mic? That'll break the ice.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I think if I can stick a joke in there somewhere, you know, they'd think I'm a fun guy to have around the booth.
Any rules you think that exist in improv don't exist for him.
Hmm.
We spent so much time just laughing out loud so hard. And sometimes, John Benjamin is one of two people who made me faint.
Yeah?
And it wasn't in the recording studio. It was in a Japanese restaurant in L.A., and we were just talking, and I was having miso soup, and the next thing you know, I'm unconscious, talking to my wife. The combination of soup and laughing doesn't work.
Hmm. Interesting. So what is the origin story of Dr. Katz, professional therapist? Why did you choose this particular premise, this you playing a therapist?
Well, a lot of that had to do with Tom Snyder, who is still my favorite person to collaborate with. And he, you know, we started with the biography of Mr. Katz, which was also fun, but it was just me doing my act and talking to a biographer voiced by this woman named Julianne Shapiro, who played Julie in the Dr. Katz TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had kind of a limited potential, we realized soon. And so we settled on the idea of therapy because you have traffic passing through your office.
Yeah.
And especially if there were comedians.
Well, yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, because comedians have this tendency to be miserable. Or is that a misconception? What do you think? Do you think comedians are?
I think they're very vocal about their unhappiness, often on stage.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think where I went wrong personally was I actually started believing I was a therapist, and I would try to make people feel better, which really was an awful idea because I made two people cry and one guy feel better in 6 years. And Tom thought it would be better if I wasn't in the booth with them. I was just, they went in there and they did their act, and we added my voice later.
Yeah. Was the Bob Newhart show, in which Bob played a psychologist in Chicago, was that an influence on Dr. Katz at all?
Not for me. Might have been for Tom.
Yeah. I just wondered because there's something, just the understated nature of so much of your comedy, it kind of reminds me of Newhart a little bit. Now, the character Jonathan Katz has the same name as you, Jonathan Katz, raises the question, how much of the professional therapist, Dr. Katz, is based on the real-life comedian, Jonathan Katz?
A lot. So much, it's frightening. In fact, my daughter, who's now 35, when she was a teenager, she once said, Dad, can't you make something up?
Can you give me an example of something that really happened to you in your personal life that you then incorporated into Dr. Katz's life?
There's an episode of Dr. Katz, which is one of my favorites, called Bully,
mm-hmm.
in which Dr. Katz's son, Ben, loses his favorite stuffed animal, which was a stuffed bull.
Mm-hmm.
Which was when I was a child, my mother made me a stuffed bull.
Well, I guess I just expect an apology, Dad, because, you know, it just shows, I guess, a lack of consideration
for
my stuff.
Should I apologize for trying to create an environment in which two adults can live?
Oh, what are you trying to say, that because I have a stuffed animal, I'm not adult?
I think you said it eloquently. No, all I'm saying is that we need the use of that closet, Ben.
I have human friends, too.
Well, do you keep them in the linen closet?
Would you throw them out?
Touché. So.
In one episode, your son, Ben, played by John Benjamin, confronts you about something you did to him when he was a kid. And it was, can you tell me about that?
Oh, is this about his make-believe sister?
Yeah, tell me about that. That was one of my favorite, that's one of my favorite episodes.
I used to do this joke about my daughter was actually an only child, mm-hmm. my real-life daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only child in her class for many years. And she asked me why that was. And I said, look, Julia, you have a sister, but you're always missing her by about 5 minutes. that part is true. But what I do in the Audible book is I confess to Ben that when he was a kid, I made these recordings of his fictitious sister.
Dad, does this sound familiar?
Hi, Ben. My name is Annabelle. I'm your half-sister. You and I have the same mum. I grew up in Great Britain, but we summer in southern France, and I would love for you to come visit. I so do want to meet you.
Dad, does this ring a bell to you? Ring an Annabelle?
Oh, my God, Ben. Where did you find those?
In the closet.
Was it in the box called Mistakes I've Made with Ben?
Yeah, another one of my favorite moments in the new audiobook series occurs during Dr. Katz's session with Dimitri Martin. Dimitri describes Dr. Katz's voice as, quote, a weird mix of aggression and soothingness, end quote. Would you agree with Dimitri's description?
I don't hear the aggressiveness part.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yet, but boy, is he funny. He's so wonderful.
You know, I used to be a street performer. I started on the streets. It was hard. I was in the suburbs on a cul-de-sac, so it was not a lot of traffic.
Right.
But if somebody, you know, turned down there by mistake, I'd get them on the whole turn. And I did develop a certain style. I had a range, just, you know, in terms of the degrees. I could kind of pivot while I was playing, but...
He says he's not superstitious. He says he thinks he has just a regular amount of stish.
Yeah. You guys have a great back and forth. You guys have a great banter back and forth, as you do with all of your guests/patients, whatever we want to call them. Is there a comedian that you really want to get for the audiobook that you haven't been able to?
No, but I was thinking about Lily Tomlin the other night.
Yeah.
But she would be fun to have on the show.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin would be good. You have this sketch in an episode of your other podcast, this podcast you used to do, Hey, We're Back, in which Jonathan Katz, the comedian, has a session with Jonathan Katz, the therapist. And this raises the question, what kind of a therapy session would Jonathan Katz, the comedian, have with Dr. Katz, the professional therapist?
I don't know, but I do have a certain envy of Dr. Katz. Even though you could argue that he is me,
mm-hmm.
he's so much better known than I am. His likeness, you know, I think that's the experience most cartoon characters have, is that nobody recognizes him.
Yeah.
But it's painful, the difference between the popularity of Dr. Katz and Jonathan Katz. On the other hand, when my grandchildren see me, they would be thrilled that it's me and not Dr. Katz. I would confuse them.
So if you don't mind me asking, is Dr. Katz based on any particular therapist that you may have seen over the years?
No, but I was living in Newton, Massachusetts, which has the highest number of therapists per capita of any city in the country.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, in Newton, if you run outside and scream you have issues, if you run outside screaming, somebody will toss you a bottle of Prozac. You know?
Oh boy.
And I had, you know, I had therapists, real therapists who were consultants to me, who were also friends. And I once went to Toronto to perform for the American Psychological Audience,
mm-hmm.
American Psychiatric Society, I'm sorry.
Sure.
And they were the best audience I've ever had. They were afraid to laugh, but once they saw somebody else laugh, they were like putty in my hands.
I imagine you've heard from fans over the years who have told you that watching the original TV show has helped them to enjoy better mental health.
Oh, God. And some of them become therapists.
Oh, really?
Some of them become hospitalized. it's had an amazing impact on people, the show.
Mm, yeah.
And not just Americans. I get letters from all over the world. I assume they're about Dr. Katz because I only speak English.
Jonathan, you know what the music means. We're going to have to stop.
Oh, my pleasure was mine.
Jonathan Katz is a comedian and the man behind Dr. Katz, the audiobook. You can find out more about Jonathan at wpr.org/beta.
Nick Lowe received quite a lot of royalties when one of his early songs, What's So Funny About Peace, Love and Understanding, was picked up for the soundtrack of the Bodyguard movie.
Biographer and musician Will Birch joins us to talk about the life and music of one of Britain's greatest songwriters. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.